This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
So, to bring you up to speed, if you're just tuning in, we had a call at the end of the last hour about a call that we had this weekend regarding the, I guess, dueling studies that are out there about immigration and welfare acceptance, welfare use. The caller this weekend was saying that, oh, she doesn't trust Cato, the Cato Institute. She trusts the Center for Immigration Studies, and the Center for Immigration Studies says that there's a large number of immigrants who are using welfare. From the Center for Immigration Studies, one of their reports from 2015, they released a report showing that 51% of immigrant-headed households used at least one welfare program in 2012, compared to 30% of native households. Now, Mark, you had asked the question, are they studying illegal immigrants, so-called, or just immigrants? It's just apparently immigrants. So they're looking at immigrant households, not necessarily even Mexican immigrant households, but just immigrant households. Now, they do have some breakdowns, and the Cato Institute goes down and digs into the details of the Center for Immigration Studies study, or at least one of their studies. And I'm going to skip past some of their table analysis where they look at the different breakdowns of, you know, which groups are consuming more or less welfare, you know, white immigrants or Hispanic immigrants and things like that. They because we don't have the tables in front of us, and it would be kind of silly to share that on the air. But they then get into broader issues from Cato.org. And the author here is Alex Norosta, who writes that he'll describe in detail some methodological and other issues with a CIS analysis, some of which expand on CIS's controlled results that were not headlined. The CIS report compared all immigrant households and all of their inhabitants, including millions of native-born citizen children and U.S.-born spouses, with all households headed by native-born Americans. Their author admits that the larger family size of immigrant households accounts for much of their greater welfare use because those born in the United States are eligible for all means-tested welfare benefits, even though Table 6 shows that immigrant households controlled for children consume a lower level of benefits. A household-level analysis does not reveal who receives the benefits, leaving the impression that the immigrants are the intended legal beneficiaries when they are often legally excluded from these programs. So what he's saying
but
here...
Okay, then Cato's wrong, because the children are not, first of all, the children are not really the recipients of the welfare as far as I'm concerned. I know that that's whose name's on the form, but I disagree with the form. Second of all, the children aren't really the ones who are guilty of being on welfare, if that's how you want to put it.
Well, no, what he's saying here is that in a immigrant-headed household, you may have a spouse who is not an immigrant. And so it could very well be the native-born spouse who is receiving the welfare on behalf of the native-born children in the household, and that house would count as an immigrant-headed household. And he gets into that here.
And if you're counting how many immigrants are on welfare, then it should, because if your kids are on welfare, you're really the... I mean, it should count as both, because if you have a citizen and an immigrant and their kids are on welfare, then really they're both on welfare, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but what he's arguing here is that they should have compared the individuals, immigrant individuals who are on welfare, to native-born individuals who are on welfare to get a more accurate picture of who's receiving welfare. He says, the number of people in an individual doesn't vary, but the number of people in a household can vary tremendously. The greater number of children in the immigrant household, rather than any different level of individual welfare use, is largely what drove the report's results. Second, Medicaid and Social Security benefit levels and eligibility are determined on an individual basis, not a household one. Many immigrants are legally ineligible for those programs, but their
children aren't.
But their U.S.-born spouses and children do have access. Thus, the Center for Immigration Studies counts the benefits received by the U.S.-born children, even though the immigrants themselves are often ineligible. This gives an inflated picture of immigrant welfare use.
No, it doesn't, because if you come here and have kids and get $800 worth of food stamps, and your neighbor was born here and has kids and has $800 worth of food stamps, then you're the same. I don't care whose name is on the food stamp application.
Well, so I'm just trying to get the methodology here. It's, to me, to say that immigrants don't use welfare that often, or whatever the claim is that Cato's making, that immigrants don't use welfare that often, and then you have, say, an house with two immigrants where they manage to get here and then have, you know, the anchor baby, as it's called, right, the kid that's born in the United States, and then the kid gets the welfare, and then to suggest that that is somehow, you know, a native person, you know, native people getting welfare, it just it seems disingenuous to me. I would think there's got to be some way to parse these numbers to be as clear as possible. Does that make sense, Ian?
Yeah,
I mean, would you agree that that's a little shifty on the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, they're counting against the kids, and that is wrong for so many reasons. The kids are not in charge of the finances. The adults are the ones who, and since children are treated like property, that would be like me saying, oh, look, okay, I'm not on welfare. My car is. Okay, because all of its oil changes are paid for and gasoline is free, but my car is on welfare, not me. And it's, I think you're going to have to hold them to be. I'm going to have to hold them to be consistent here. If you're going to treat kids like property, which is what we do in this country and any country I'm aware of, then you know it's maintenance on your assets, so that counts against you. Also, you're kind of in charge. You know, in reality, you're the trustee of the kid. You're in charge of the kid. A 2-year-old is not guilty of anything.
Yeah, but if you and, okay, you've got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You guys live together. I don't know what the rest of your living situation is, and it doesn't matter because we're going to, you know, make one up here. So you and your boyfriend, you're living in a house where you're not the owner.
Right.
So somebody else is the owner of that house or in charge of that house in some way. They're the renter and you're subleasing from them or whatever. And that person is accepting food stamps. And that person is an immigrant. Therefore, you count on this CIS study as an immigrant house or a an immigrant headed household receiving welfare.
I don't think that
even
I
though
would
two of the three people don't receive welfare.
I only think I would if the owner of the house lived in the house.
Immigrant headed households,
heard.
Right? So like you're renting
right,
a room.
So he would have to live there.
So you yeah right. So you'd be renting a room from this person. You would be counted in this study.
Okay.
Your household would be counted even though 2/3 of the household are not receiving
okay,
welfare.
Okay, and that doesn't make sense, but
that's what he's saying.
That's how most people... I think that's kind of a outlier from what he was saying, because they're saying we're going to count it against the 6-month-old that the parents are on WIC, because somehow the 6-month-old thought that the parents couldn't find a good enough job. So the 6-month-old is on WIC, and I understand that that's what the form says. I don't care what the form says. The reality of the situation is that the grown adults are on WIC, whether they were born here or not. And, you know, I kind of hold it against them more if they were born here.
But should you be held against, if your boyfriend goes on welfare, should that be your responsibility? Are you
yes.
a welfare recipient then because your boyfriend's on
I
welfare?
I would say yes.
I don't think so. I don't think another person
think
can make a decision for you.
I think that that depends on kind of your situation. If you have people that are kind of just casually dating and maybe not even living together, maybe be living together and having everything totally separate, that I would say probably not. I think that kind of depends on how you have your life set up. But yeah, at this point, if he just went out and got food stamps, yeah, I would say
I'll go ahead and say it. If anybody in the house is on welfare, then the household's on welfare. The fact is that if you're getting, if somebody is making their rent payment, say, you know, there's somebody in this household, and I don't know, that receives welfare, and their rent payment is, I don't know, $400 per month, and their welfare helps them subsidize, money's fungible, right? So
sure.
that adds to the pool of money they get in a given month, and so they're able to pay their rent payment based on the money
they get. But whether they're
welfare.
Going out and getting welfare or they're robbing banks is not the issue for the landlord.
Well,
that's
right.
not their
yeah,
fault.
I disagree with that, because if I'm paying my landlord cash or check or whatever and I'm on food stamps and he doesn't even know that, like
the landlord isn't part of the household unless they live in the house.
Well, or my roommate. If my roommate goes and gets food stamps, I don't feel like that's my problem or my fault or my responsibility.
But it's not your problem or fault. But then the household is a welfare receiving household.
The landlord is getting the money, and either more coming up here. 855 450 free. You know, to me, I manage properties. It's none of my damn business where they get their money from, as long as they pay it on time. More coming up. What do you shop for that you could otherwise buy at Amazon? Pretty much everything, right? Amazon has competitive pricing and they deliver, and that's a big plus. If you could plan ahead in your shopping, would you be interested in saving up to 33%? There's a catch. You have to do your shopping in Bitcoin, but imagine those savings. It's like a huge raise. All you have to do is go to saveitpurse.com. We've saved thousands, and you can too. Plan ahead and save. Saveitpurse.com. Do you need a website for your blog or new business? It can be pretty intimidating on your own, and that's why Free Talk Live has partnered with HostGator, one of the top hosting companies. HostGator offers a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress, 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support, and a very intuitive, user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation back into your hands. Go to HostGator.com/FTL, and you'll get 50% off of their regular hosting prices. 50% off. HostGator.com/FTL.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learned could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Dial toll free and join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and you can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. With you tonight in the studio, it's me, Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Also, Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi Nakamoto's vision. Satoshi was the founder of Bitcoin. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it's necessary to resolve them with a different approach by using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited. You are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. We can continue with more on immigration, clashing immigration studies here in moments. Also, we can talk about the police. But first, let's go to Ian. He is in China on Skype. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, good morning here and probably evening there.
Yes, sir.
These studies, these surveys are lying. Through omission. What is an immigrant? Okay? You get 50 illegal aliens scramble over the river. Boom, they're immigrants. You get these Chinese off a boat in the middle of the night. They're immigrants. My wife, with a master's degree, a good income, 36 years professional trade, wasn't allowed to be an immigrant until she found a sponsor so she would never go on welfare. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you feed me a little more here?
Well, I see what you're saying. Okay. You're saying poorer immigrants who are willing to take risks are more likely to, you know, come here, and so they will outnumber the professional ones, and so
the professional ones are going to be outnumbered anyway, just by, you know, dint of a society. I mean, how many societies have as many blue collar workers as they do professionals?
But that as a result, yeah, you're saying that would skew the numbers to make it look like immigrants as this category are more likely to accept welfare when many of them are not.
But you're categorizing it improperly. You can't just say immigrants and include every illegal alien in the country. My wife is an immigrant. Jose whatever or whoever or Chinese or whatever who comes in illegally is not an immigrant. They're an illegal alien. They're an occupying alien. The citizen of another country who decided to take advantage of our kindness, which is our weakness. They're aliens. They're not immigrants. My wife is an immigrant.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I think that anybody who migrates from one point to another is, you know, an immigrant or an immigrant,
okay.
Depending.
If you want to break down the etymology of a word, you're probably right, sir. But what I disagree is this. The average guy or gal who reads the paper or listens to your show or to other shows says, oh, immigrants. Gosh almighty, when I was young, even now, my view of an immigrant means they have a legal status.
Had a legal status?
Well, I mean, that might be regional, because my, like, kind of automatic view of an immigrant is people outside of Home Depot. I think that kind of depends on what you're used to. And, I mean, the domestic population, it has just as wide a range. I mean, you have people who've never worked a day in their life and make money because they have 15 kids and they just keep having kids until they're old enough to collect Social Security. And then you have neurosurgeons who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and everything in between.
And they're all natives.
Yes, and they're
then
all
you've got N13 gang members who slither over the border, commit their crimes, collect welfare. It's unbelievable what's happening with the illegals. If you're going to have this study that says immigrants are 20% of the welfare load, let's break it up. How many illegals are collecting versus legals? Because
really
I don't
know where those numbers.
My tax money is going.
It's really difficult to get those numbers because you know, people who's going to tell you they're illegal. I mean, it's like
the information's out there. That's the thing. No one's going to say.
I don't think it is.
Yes, I'm illegal, but the information is there. The federal agencies can easily collect the information.
I don't think so. I don't think it's very easy to identify who is and who is not illegal because it requires self-reporting. And why would someone want to self-report, especially to a federal government agency?
Okay, nobody self-reports in China, but I'll tell you what. They grab up the illegals quicker than you can imagine, and
yeah,
they do have...
Their illegals
problem.
Just mean going from one state to one province to another, right?
North Korea. They flood this country.
Okay.
Are you saying, Mark, that you've heard that it's illegal to go from province to province?
Ask Ian.
In China, if you want to move to another province, to live in another city, you need a visa in the form of a new ID card that is printed showing you a legal resident thereof. In America, I can say, hey, I'm going to get a job in San Francisco. Then I'm going to go to Chicago. Not in China. China, I'm going to try to get permission to be accepted as an immigrant to Beijing.
Do you support that? I mean, do you support the internal immigration restrictions?
I think they're horrid. But I'm not talking about how they snatch them. I'm talking about people from other countries who do.
What's the difference?
It's just an arbitrary line,
right?
Yeah,
it's all just arbitrary lines. If you think it's horrible to...
Do you pay taxes?
I try to avoid it as often as possible.
As often as I possibly...
I try to avoid it, too. But whether we like it or not, the government wrings our necks till they get what they want. And they take that money, and rather than, as you said, supporting Project Hope or building orphanages for poorer Americans, they're throwing the money at poorer illegals. All I'm saying is, I have a problem with the legal status. When they came over, they had their anchor babies, boom, they got their medical, they're getting a better college tuition than my grandkids are getting.
Well, how about what Melanie said here is that, look, your grandkids have had several generations to get on their feet and take care of their own college. Shouldn't people who just got here get the leg up rather than the natives? I mean, if you're going to talk about welfare.
If they got here legally, if they followed the rules, yes, I spent 2 years. I spent $20,000. I spent a lot of sleepless nights. I flew from city to city so my wife could be a sponsored U.S. immigrant. It would have been a lot easier. If we sneaked in on the boat, it would have been a lot easier.
Look, I support your wife's right to come to the United States without having to spend tens of thousands of dollars in paperwork in order to do it. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And the more draconian the immigration laws get here in the United States, the more difficult it's going to be to get out in the future.
Thanks, Ian, for the call. I appreciate it. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So, Cato Institute, looking at the CIS, the Center for Immigration Studies numbers, where the CIS people are claiming that 51% of immigrant-headed households are using at least one welfare program in 2012, compared to 30% of native households. They're saying it's not accurate studies to look at a household when you should be looking at individuals, although it sounds like you guys are taking the CIS side.
Not entirely.
I think there's a better way to do it, but if I have to pick between the two, Cato is wrong.
More coming up here. Your thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves and bring it what you want on Free Talk Live.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription over-the-counter drugs and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
It's not what you make that counts, it's what you keep. My name is Bill Harris. I'm CEO of Personal Capital, and now is the time to review your strategy for saving taxes on your investments year-round. Congress has created numerous tax breaks for retirement savers, and our new book, Investment Tax Guide, shows you how to use them. Most brokers do not help you save taxes, so you've got to do it yourself. And through April 15th, we're offering free copies of the guide online at personalcapital.com/tax.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in.
Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather-tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're going to get back into your calls and thoughts. A little bit more here from the Cato assessment, their breakdown on this Center for Immigration Studies study, which Cato is saying they didn't really do a great job with. They point out here that it's a lot easier and more accurate to compute the immigrant and native welfare costs when they are individuals than it is to work backwards from the survey of income and program participation, budgetary data, and imputations of program costs necessary due to a household analysis. So CIS, the Center for Immigration Studies, was looking at immigrant-headed households compared to native-headed households and how many of them are ostensibly on welfare.
It seems to me that, you know, if I were to do this study, and I'm trying to come up with this as fair as I can, that if it was two immigrants, and we're just using the term immigrant, not illegal or anything like that, two immigrants that head the household, then it would be an immigrant household.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it was one, that it would be a native household. Does that make sense?
If there was one immigrant
in the household.
Well, the question that they've been asking is, who's the head of the household? And they point out here in a few moments that it's the person who answers the survey that decides who the head of the household is as well. So do they choose themselves or do they choose the other person who is the head of the household? So there's a lot of kind of, you know, discrepancies here.
I wonder what my wife
would say. Okay, well, that's a serious methodological problem.
Hold on. If you and your boyfriend, if you answered these questions and I asked you, who's the head of their household between you and your boyfriend, who would be the head?
I mean, it's not really as solidified as it could be, but, I mean, him, if I had a pick at this point.
Is his name on the lease and not yours?
I don't want to answer that on the air, but there's an answer to that.
Cato published an analysis of poor immigrant welfare use that compares individuals. As a result, we can see the immigration or citizenship status within limits of the actual welfare users in the amount they consume. The immigrants themselves are almost always less likely to use welfare and consume a lower dollar value of benefits than similar natives, as CRIS's own study corroborates.
Yeah, but
said.
If those natives are their children, then as far as I'm concerned, they're using them. Right. If I went out and got some kind of medical care for Jack, uh-huh. wouldn't you say that my household is using?
No, they were studying individuals, not the
household. I understand,
households.
But in this case, I'm the immigrant. Jack's the native, right?
Okay.
And he's getting the medical care, but wouldn't you say that's me getting the medical care because normally
yeah.
I would be responsible for paying for it?
Right. But what they're saying here is the immigrants, when you look at the individuals, are less likely, say almost always less likely to use welfare and consume a lower dollar value of benefits than similar natives.
Right, because they're counting
similar
wrong.
Similar natives, I see.
The immigrant-headed household unit of analysis used in the CIS report presents other problems. As a unit, it's just not as meaningful as it once was. Professor Leighton Koo, the director of the Center for Health Policy Research at George Washington University, wrote the following, quote, "Another problem is the ambiguous nature of what it means to be an immigrant-headed household. In the CPS, a head of household is often assigned by the parent who's completing the survey. It could be the husband or wife. Consider an example of a five-person household consisting of an immigrant male, native-born wife, two native-born children, and a native-born unrelated person, such as someone renting a room. If the male has been deemed the head of household, then this is an immigrant-headed household, despite the fact that only one of five members is an immigrant, and one, the renter, is not financially dependent on the immigrant."
Yeah, I would say that that's sort of an unfair way to do it. If there was one immigrant in a household, it happens to be the male, the male is called the head of household by the person who's filling out the form, whether that's him or his wife or whatever. I just don't.
And if the wife is the one receiving the welfare, then it's a welfare-receiving immigrant-headed household. But as it points out here, if the wife was deemed to be the head of the household, then it would be a native-headed household in that case, even though one of the members is an immigrant. Given that many families today have dual incomes and that the wife's income often exceeds the husband's, it's not clear if being assigned the head of household in the census form as much social meaning.
I don't think that in that circumstance that the husband, the wife, if in receiving benefits, the wife is the head of household if she is the native in that circumstance. Maybe not in every circumstance, but in that circumstance, she's because she has the rights to receive them, then receiving them, she in that area, she becomes the head of household, is the way I would see
That's the way you would see it, but maybe she would put down the immigrant as the head of the household.
Yeah, but she doesn't understand the ramifications when she's filled
out.
She's just being asked questions.
Right, which is why, again, they're pointing out that studying the households is probably not the most accurate way to do it.
The Institute for Immigrant, whatever they're called, that is not a good way to do it either, but I still think that's preferable to the way Cato did it. The way Cato did it is obnoxious. The way they did it is imperfect and maybe kind of sloppy and lazy, but it's
what's obnoxious about studying the individual?
What's obnoxious about assigning a six-month-old moral culpability to being on WIC and not their 30-year-old
parents?
No,
I don't think they studied the children.
But they counted the individuals. A six-month-old is an individual.
Right, but the six-month-old is not on the welfare program. That's going to be the parent who's on
legally,
the welfare program.
Legally, especially if it's an immigrant who's not qualified, the six-month-old is the legal recipient of welfare. In reality, it's the parent, but legally, it's the six-month-old.
Let's go to Kyle. He's in Guam. Good morning, Kyle. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was just calling because, you guys were talking about immigration again, and here on Guam, one of the biggest issues facing us right now is our construction costs are going up like none other because we have a 99.9% denial rate for foreign workers, and that's all because of the federal government. So, I mean, they're basically strangling us, and Guam can't build anything without a super high cost, and, shipping costs to us is already high as well.
Yeah, it affects it. One of the things that's been said about our hometown in Sarasota, Florida, is one of the reasons we have such well-constructed older homes is because the Amish come down for the winter. And now they're crossing borders, but they're different borders. They're state borders that they're allowed to cross to come on down, but they're essentially migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
They're just migrating within the United States. And because Guam's so small, tiny little place, the people that need to migrate in have to migrate across different borders, national borders, and it's much more difficult to migrate across those.
Sure.
And, this is what these lines in the dirt do to people. And I understand some of the fears that surround them, believe me, but at the same time, everybody who supports them needs to look at the costs and the ramifications of them.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things for me is that we just don't have enough skilled workers. You know, like for Florida, there could be skilled workers there already. But, I mean, Guam, we only have like 160,000 people here, and we cannot legally get any skilled workers. And, you know, the people that are graduating nowadays, there's no push for trade school or anything. So, everyone's going into college and getting communications degrees, and there's no way we can support ourselves construction-wise with this.
That's tough. And so what you're saying, 99.9% of people who apply are getting rejected?
Exactly. We used to have just around 2,000, and now we're down to about 100.
Per what?
Total. We used to have around 2,000 skilled workers able to work with construction businesses, and contractors, and now we're already down to 100.
Sounds like you need to get a job doing construction, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Well, and that's the thing is I've worked with one of them when, I was helping build just a random thing, and they just needed someone to help mix cement. And, I mean, I was tired after a few hours, and these guys are just troopers. I mean,
it's incredible.
They work so hard, and they shouldn't be denied.
Guam should secede from the United States. That's probably easier said than done. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the call. I appreciate hearing from you tonight.
There's a lot of money being given to the citizens of Guam from U.S. tax coffers. I don't suspect that's going to happen.
Really? All right. We're coming up here. 855.
Expensive to live an island.
Yeah, 855, 450, free. Join us on Free Talk Live.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME99 to 42424.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll-free. Join us here in the remaining moments of the program. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Also, if you want to help Free Talk Live and get your shopping done, it's easy. You go to shop.freetalklive.com. There are links to Amazon there, Amazon US, Canada, and UK. You go to the right Amazon for you. You buy the stuff you were going to buy anyway, likely, and you get the same great Amazon prices and shipping deals that you're used to. It's just that Free Talk Live will be sent a portion of the purchase because we sent them the business, basically. Amazon otherwise will just keep all of the money that you send them. If you go through shop.freetalklive.com, then we get a portion of the sale. So
it makes a real difference for us.
It really does. And it's the same deal for you. So go take that extra step and just go to shop.freetalklive.com first. And if you don't want to take that step ever again, just go there once and then go to either the U.S., U.K., or Canada. And as soon as you land in Amazon on that landing page, as they call it, bookmark that. And then all you have to do is go back to your bookmark from that point forward.
And then go and do it on your mom's computer.
There you go. So shop.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, so Santa Fe decided to bring their speeding ban back this month and last month.
Their what ban?
A speeding ban.
Oh, speeding bans.
Mobile RoboCop. The speeding bans. The mobile units, the RoboCop.
Okay.
So they decided to bring it back, but they turned off all of the red light cameras last month. So they're kind of like bipolar city like I am. They're bipolar. They can't make up their mind.
Well, that's not uncommon in governments.
One person's making one decision, another person's making another, and that's why it looks that way.
Well, the thing is, I don't live in the city, so
well,
I don't...
Hold on a second. I'm not going to defend speeding cameras. I'm against all of these things, but you could at the very least make the argument that the red light cameras have been proven to cause accidents and have been proven to increase the danger at intersections because people will be more likely to, say, slam on their brakes when the light goes yellow because they don't want to get a ticket and instead they end up in an accident. I mean, they've studied this and it's proven that red light cameras increase danger and increase traffic accidents.
Yeah.
of course, they also increase government revenues, but they increase the traffic accidents at such a significant, you know, statistical percentage that even the governments themselves could not continue to justify running the red light cameras. Many of these governments have actually stopped the red light camera programs as a result of that. Speeding cameras, you can't really make the same argument that they're going to cause more traffic fatalities, right? Because the speeding cameras are there. If people know they're there, they're going to likely slow down. That's probably not going to be as dangerous of a situation as the red light scene. So that would be why you could see one area having the speeding vans but not having the red light cameras, and it wouldn't necessarily be an inconsistency.
Well, yeah, so they got the speeding vans back on, but they're going to bring the red light cameras back also, probably like in a couple of months. Yes, they are.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, the thing is, what you're talking about is the real end accidents, but you're not talking that what increases is the T-bone, T-bone 50 miles per hour running the red light accident. And by the way, they are all filmed. You know, anybody could view them. In fact, I was with the Reflex City Council meeting, and I got to see footage of the running a red light and T-boning.
Well, there's no doubt that there's some footage of somebody running a red light and T-boning, and I'm sure of that. And certainly it's happened somewhere that they can show. But the question is how often that occurs. You're not talking about. Usually somebody doesn't get up to speed in order to hit another car that's running a red light that quickly from a stoplight, you know? I mean,
Right. Well, I ran a red light 100 times. I never T-boned anybody, but the 101 time when you run it at 55 miles an hour, you guys are both in the hospital in an ICU unit.
Most people aren't going around running red lights all the time.
Yeah, but what is a traffic cam going to do about that?
Well, they have you on film, and you get a picture of. That's why they issue that ticket, $100.
So now they can send you a ticket in your hospital room.
Well, the thing is, you're going to be dead in 3 weeks.
Sarah, all I can tell you is that you may love them, but they kill people.
What the ticket is.
Sarah, listen to me. Listen. They kill people. They've done the studies up to this point. Red light cameras kill people. They're dangerous. Now, we've agreed with you on speeding cameras that, probably not the same level of damage. But, you know, I'm sorry. Go out and do your own study. I don't care if there's a video of a car T-boning another car. That's what they call circumstantial evidence. It's just empirical. It doesn't matter.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. Appreciate that. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. And I'm against the speeding cameras. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with speeding, as long as the circumstances are safe. You know, speeding on a wet roadway might be more dangerous than, you know, if it's dry and clear.
Speeding isn't really a defined action, whereas running a red light is. Speeding means going a speed in excess of the legal speed.
The posted
speed.
Limit, yeah.
So that doesn't really mean anything. Does that mean doing 26 and a 25? Yes, it does. Doing 90 down a subdivision? Yes, it does. It's not really a well-defined action.
I see what you're saying. So speeding in one place could be actually more dangerous than speeding the same amount in another place.
Well, that also. Yeah. But it doesn't mean anything to the point. It just doesn't mean anything.
Well, it means something to the state. It means revenue. It means a lot of revenue.
Right. It's a line item, and I would agree that I believe that there's a point that's too fast for each given area for given conditions. I would say that the government is a pretty bad organization to figure out what the right speed for a given area and given conditions are. Because, for one, conditions change throughout the day. Should you go the same speed at night as you should during the day? Well, it depends where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or
in a snowstorm or, you know, clear conditions.
They always have low speed limits in areas where it's stupid. I mean, everybody in every town is like, good Lord, why in the world is this 30 or 40?
Yep.
This should be like 55. I just don't get it in many cases.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. It's because it makes them a lot of money.
Right, and that's the problem is that the organizations that benefit from these things are the ones that are setting the numbers. Now, in Alabama, Daryl has said that the state legislature has come up with speeds for given areas for densities and you know, different streets and that sort of thing. So it's at least homogenous all over the state rather than one given place where somebody, you know, the city council lady who's on the corner and says, I just don't like it when they go too fast through here.
Right.
And she gets the speed limit dropped down to 15 by her house or whatever. I'm giving it a crazy example, but it's not like this stuff doesn't happen.
No doubt about it. Now, it would be interesting to see how the marketplace would set speed limits differently. Now, I guess we could go and look at private roads and see, you know, if there's any significant difference.
Most of the private roads I've seen are like 5 miles an hour because they're going
in neighborhoods.
Right,
neighborhoods
because they're going to parking lots and stuff, yeah. But
there are some of them, and we've read about some private roads and that like run right alongside of a competing government road. And I wish I remembered what city that was in.
California.
Was it California? Yeah.
California has a network of private highways.
And you pay to go on those roads, yeah. Right? And presumably there's not as much traffic congesting those roads because you're self-selected as far as who goes in there. And are the speed limits higher? I don't know.
I would presume they were.
I would presume they are as well because it's a private road.
They're trying to keep customers happy
wanting
to pay for their road so they can get to work a little faster.
Yeah.
So they probably keep the speed limits up.
Maybe it would be interesting to see what kind of differences we're talking about. Is it 50% faster that you can go on these roads? If you've got any experience with them, you're certainly welcome to call in and share that with us. We're happy to hear about it.
I don't think on a freeway it's going to be 50% faster, but 10 miles an hour is going to motivate somebody to pay for...
Well, 50%, if they take it from 50 miles an hour to 75...
What freeway is 50? I mean, it's pretty rare that you're going to find a freeway, an interstate, that's 50 miles an hour.
Well, freeway and interstate are different terms, right? Here in New Hampshire, the state roads are usually 55 miles an hour, but the interstates are 65.
Most interstates that I've been through are freeways. So in a freeway means that there are no stops, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're free. It's a free go.
Yeah.
And there are roads that are certainly freeways that aren't interstates, but, that's kind of, those terms are synonymous for a lot of people.
I can tell you that driving from Concord, New Hampshire to Keene, New Hampshire on Route 9, there's no stoplights there. Is that a freeway?
Because
that's only 55 miles an hour.
I couldn't tell you.
There's not in Lee all the way
there
to
are exits.
Manchester
yeah, it's a freeway.
Either. It's 50, 55 most of the way.
It's
all right.
A freeway.
So we're out of time for tonight, but you can join us tomorrow online in the meantime at freetalklive.com, and maybe we'll cover a demo tomorrow night. See you then.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. If you're a local advertiser, contact this station. If you can use national exposure, Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Bitcoin.com recently reported Bitcoin transaction fees have increased by more than 1,200% since 2015. To many Bitcoin proponents, the current fee market is moving way too fast, making Bitcoin unusable for certain transactions. The fee market and slow confirmation times have also increased the tension concerning the block size debate. However, if there are wallets with low amounts of Bitcoin that can't cover the fees, they become virtually unspendable. Learn more at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.